A model for the rarest cancers, choroid plexus carcinoma and the Lee Fraumeni inheritable cancer syndrome. In the landscape of childhood cancer, there are diseases so rare that even many physicians will never encounter a single case. Yet within these rare diagnoses lie some of the deepest biological insights and some of the most urgent clinical challenges. Choroid plexus carcinoma, often abbreviated as CPC, is one such disease. It is a malignant brain tumour that arises predominantly in very young children, most often under the age of 4. Though rare, it is biologically revealing, clinically formidable, and, in recent years, the focus of a determined effort to change its outcome. At the heart of this effort is Professor Jonathan Finley, a paediatric neuro-oncologist at Ohio State University College of Medicine, whose work has helped illuminate how such a rare cancer can be studied, understood, and ultimately confronted. The journey that has led to an emerging multinational clinical trial began not with a grand institutional mandate, but with a retrospective question. What had happened to the children who had already faced this disease, and what could their experiences teach us? CPC arises in the choroid plexus, a structure within the brain's ventricles that produces cerebrospinal fluid. In CPC, cells that normally serve a supportive function become aggressively malignant. The tumour can grow rapidly, obstruct fluid pathways, and spread within the central nervous system. Treatment typically involves complex neurosurgery, intensive chemotherapy, and sometimes radiation therapy, which carries particular risks in very young children whose brains are still developing. One of the most striking features of CPC is its close relationship with a hereditary cancer predisposition condition known as Lee Fraumeni syndrome. Roughly 60% of young children with CPC have this syndrome. Lee Fraumeni syndrome is caused by inherited mutations in the TP53 gene, often described as the first cancer suppressor gene ever discovered, and linked in the 1960s to the first recognized inherited cancer susceptibility syndrome. TP53 plays a critical role in guarding the integrity of the genome. When it is defective, cells lose a key protective mechanism that normally prevents the accumulation of dangerous mutations. This genetic connection means that CPC is not only a devastating childhood cancer, but also a window into fundamental cancer biology. It shows what can happen when one of the body's most important protective genes fails. It also forces clinicians to think carefully about treatment. For children with Lee Fraumeni syndrome, certain therapies, especially radiotherapy, may increase the risk of future cancers. Thus, the biology of the tumour and the biology of the child are tightly intertwined. The main study that forms the backbone of this story is a multi-centre retrospective analysis. In simple terms, Finley and colleagues looked back across institutions to gather and analyse data from children who had already been treated for CPC. Because the disease is so rare, no single hospital sees enough cases to draw meaningful conclusions on its own. By pooling data internationally, patterns begin to emerge. This retrospective work examined outcomes in relation to both genetic and treatment factors. Which children survived and for how long? Did outcomes differ between those with Lee Fraumeni syndrome and those without? How did the extent of surgical removal influence survival? What was the impact of different chemotherapy regimens? Were certain approaches associated with fewer relapses or fewer long-term complications? The findings were sobering and instructive. CPC remains an aggressive cancer, and survival rates, particularly in certain subgroups, have historically been poor. Yet the analysis also revealed that outcomes are not uniform. Children who undergo complete or near-complete surgical resection of their tumours tend to fare better. The role of intensive chemotherapy appears crucial, particularly in the youngest patients, where radiation therapy is often avoided or delayed. Genetic status, especially the presence of a TP53 mutation associated with Li-Fraumeni syndrome, influences both risk and treatment considerations. By systematically analysing these factors, Professor Jonathan Finley and his collaborators were able to do something that is essential in rare disease research. They transformed scattered, anecdotal experience into structured knowledge. Instead of isolated case reports and small single-institution series, there was now a clearer, evidence-informed picture of how CPC behaves and how children respond to different therapeutic strategies. The retrospective study did more than describe outcomes. It laid the groundwork for risk stratification. In other words, it helped define which children might be considered higher risk based on clinical and genetic features and which might have a more favourable prognosis. Risk stratification is not about labelling children in a fatalistic way. It is about tailoring treatment. A child at very high risk of relapse might need more intensive therapy, while a child at lower risk might be spared certain toxic treatments. Context from earlier work reinforces why this step was so important. In rare pediatric brain tumours, progress often lags behind that seen in more common cancers. Clinical trials are difficult to mount because the patient population is small and geographically dispersed. Funding can be scarce, especially for conditions that affect relatively few families. Yet, without structured trials, treatment approaches remain variable and improvements in survival may be slow. CPC therefore serves as a model for how to approach rare cancers more broadly. First, conduct a careful retrospective analysis in a multi-centre setting. Second, use the insights gained to design a prospective clinical and biological trial. Third, build the infrastructure and partnerships needed to carry that trial forward. For Professor Jonathan Finley, this was not an abstract academic exercise. More than a decade ago, he began thinking seriously about how to move from retrospective analysis to a prospective trial. The impetus came in part from the parents of two children, both of whom had Li-Fraumeni syndrome and CPC, and both of whom died of their disease. Their stories underscored the urgency of doing better. They also highlighted the need for a coordinated effort that could transcend institutional and national boundaries. Designing a multinational trial for a rare pediatric brain tumour is a formidable undertaking. It begins with people. Investigators, particularly junior and mid-career clinicians and scientists, must be identified and brought together. These are the individuals who will draft protocols, coordinate patient enrolment, and ensure that data are collected rigorously and consistently. Building such a team requires trust, shared purpose, and sustained leadership. Next comes the need for an experienced clinical trial centre willing to provide central support. Multidisciplinary trials, especially those that incorporate both clinical treatment and molecular biology components, require sophisticated coordination. Data management, regulatory compliance, ethical oversight, and communication across sites are all essential. Without a central hub, even the most promising trial design can falter. Perhaps the most daunting challenge is financial. Conducting a multinational trial of this complexity can require on the order of $250,000 per year for several years. In an era where governmental support for certain areas of research has become more constrained, securing such funding is not straightforward. Philanthropic foundations often play a crucial role, and in this case, Finlay anticipates that they will be particularly helpful in supporting the molecular biology aspects of the study. Understanding the tumour at a genetic and molecular level is key to developing more precise and potentially less toxic therapies. The strategy that has been envisioned by Finlay years earlier has begun to take concrete form. The sequential steps, from assembling investigators to securing institutional backing and seeking funding, are progressing. There is a sense of cautious optimism that the prospective risk-stratified multinational trial will proceed. If so, it represents not just a research protocol, but the culmination of years of groundwork. What would such a trial mean for children diagnosed with CPC and their families? First, it would provide a standardized framework for treatment across participating centers internationally. Rather than relying on local variation, children would receive therapy guided by the best available evidence from the retrospective analysis. Second, it would systematically collect biological samples and data, enabling deeper study of the tumour's molecular characteristics. Third, it would create a community of clinicians and researchers focused specifically on improving outcomes in this rare disease. For families affected by Lee Frau-Menni syndrome, the implications are particularly significant. Because TP53 mutations confer risk for multiple cancers over a lifetime, management must consider not only the immediate threat of CPC, but also the long-term health of the child. A prospective trial can incorporate surveillance strategies, genetic counselling, and careful assessment of treatment-related risks. It can also contribute to broader understanding of how inherited cancer syndromes intersect with pediatric oncology. The story of CPC research illustrates a broader truth about medicine. Even the rarest diseases deserve rigorous study. In fact, they may offer unique insights into fundamental biological processes. TP53, once a mysterious gene linked to familial cancer clusters, is now recognized as one of the most important tumor suppressors in human biology. Studying cancers that arise when TP53 is defective continues to shed light on how normal cells maintain genomic stability and how that stability can be lost. At the same time, rare cancers test the resilience and creativity of the research community. They demand collaboration across borders, institutions, and disciplines. They require sustained advocacy from clinicians, scientists, and families alike. They also remind us that statistics represent individual children, each with a name, a family, and a future that hangs in the balance. Professor Jonathan Finlay's work on CPC embodies this dual perspective. On one hand, it is deeply scientific, grounded in careful data analysis and thoughtful trial design. On the other, it is profoundly human, shaped by encounters with families who have endured unimaginable loss. The retrospective study provided clarity about where the field stands. The forthcoming prospective trial represents hope for where it might go. If successful, the model developed for CPC could inform approaches to other rare pediatric cancers. Retrospective multicenter analysis, risk stratification, multinational collaboration, integration of molecular biology, and strategic pursuit of philanthropic support from a blueprint that can be adapted elsewhere. In this sense, CPC is not only a rare and tragic disease, but also a catalyst for innovation. For the general public, the details of gene mutations, surgical margins, and chemotherapy regimens may seem distant. Yet the underlying themes are universal. How do we learn from the past to build a better future? How do we mobilize limited resources to address urgent needs? How do we transform personal tragedy into collective action? The answer, at least in this case, lies in persistence, collaboration, and a refusal to accept the status quo. The children who have faced CPC and the families who have stood beside them deserve nothing less. Through the painstaking work of retrospective analysis and the ambitious vision of a multinational trial, there is a growing sense that the story of this rare cancer is still being written. With leadership from researchers such as Professor Jonathan Finlay and the commitment of an international community, the next chapters may bring new knowledge, improved survival, and ultimately a measure of hope where it has long been in short supply. This audio is a summary of the papers Marrow Ablative Consolidation Chemotherapy and Molecular Targeted Therapy delivered in a risk-adapted manner for newly diagnosed children with choroid plexus carcinoma, a work in progress in Neuro-Oncology Advances. Approaches to minimize the neurodevelopmental impact of choroid plexus carcinoma and its treatment in life. And multiple germline events contribute to cancer development in patients with Li-Fraumeni syndrome in Cancer Research Communications. Funding for this research was provided by the Soccer for Hope Foundation, California, USA, and the Narayan family, Singapore. For further information, you can connect with Professor Jonathan Finlay at neuroonc514@aol.com.